Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Ask OTC, the show where we answer all your questions from the week in European football. I'm Dotton Adebayo.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Lars Ewaldsen.
Straight off this from Andrew. Now that Sevilla haven't qualified for the Europa League, who do you fancy to win the competition? Andy?
Well, I suppose recency bias says Milan, doesn't it? Because they just scraped into third place in the group of death, in inverted commas. And they showed they had a bit about them in the way that they did it, because they were dreadful in the first half in particular. And I don't think they deserve to win the game overall. I think there are two elements that would recommend Milan being considered a contender. Firstly, the way they did dig that Newcastle game out of the fire. And I think the way that Stefano Pioli, someone who's been under enormous pressure and increasing pressure at home in Italy this season, his changes won the game. You know, there's no doubt about that. He made better, I guess was able to make better substitutions than Eddie Howe. But like, for example, I never would have taken Olivier Giroud off, because they weren't creating anything. You think, well, okay, something might fall to him from a set piece. But in fact, adding some legs to the front line as Newcastle were going for it absolutely worked. And that was, we saw that with the combination with Okafor and Chukwueze for the goal. But despite that, and despite the fact they were Champions League semi-finalists last season, I feel that they're quite a lot weaker than they were last season. I don't think they had an amazing transfer window, as we've discussed elsewhere with Nicky Bandini. I feel that they're all acceptable signings that will stand them in good stead in the medium term, but I don't think they're players who largely improve the team in the short term. So that's a bit of an issue. I think too much leans on Rafael Leao. So I would still, for me, Bayer Leverkusen are the favourites. I think they're the best team in it. Them along with Liverpool are the two that absolutely stand out. The two teams who you think are, to quote Joe Cole, in the wrong competition. You know, they're both Champions League worthy, the way they've played this season. And they have myriad options.
Well done for quoting Joe Cole.
No,
yeah, Lars.
No, I would totally concur that Liverpool and Bayer Leverkusen seem like the big favourites. But what I wonder is it possible that both of those two teams could end up being slightly distracted by the title challenge they look like they're going to put in? I think if we yeah, if we get into the new year, to the knockout stages, and both are where they are now in the league, I think they're going to rotate pretty heavily for those Thursday games, because that's a real opportunity for the both of them. And then you're looking at other options. I mean, I hate to say it because they're not very good and I don't like him, but Jose Mourinho is kind of good at this stuff. Like, Roma are still in the competition. It wouldn't surprise me if he found some way of finagling himself. You know, Romelu Lukaku is starting to show little signs that he could be there.
They've
you
both
know.
Got one foot out the door, though, haven't they, Roma?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, they're there. But if we're looking at the teams that are coming down from the Champions League, how about Benfica? No?
The thing is, I think Benfica lack defensive presence without the ball. I think that's the biggest problem for them, and that would really count in the back end of the competition. That's what's kind of kippered them in the Champions League. And of course, they haven't managed to effectively replace Gonçalo Ramos, because Artur Cabral, despite scoring a brilliant goal at Salzburg in the Europa League, in the Champions League this week, I don't think has been the ideal signing to replace him. I don't think Tengstedt is quite ready. So I guess part of that depends on what they do in January. Remember, they can bring new players in January. But I'm into your Roma shout, though. Again, the players they've invested in, apart from Lukaku, are ones with fitness issues. So if that has an effect on durability when it comes to the second half of the competition, I'm interested to see.
But I also think, of all the favourites, when we look at it, Roma are maybe one of the teams that will really make this a priority. I think Mourinho understands how much a deep European run, even in the secondary competition, seems to mean to the fans. And those lively nights at the Olympico, for all the flaws in Mourinho's time at Roma, you know, he has galvanized that fan base to an incredible degree. And those nights in Europe has been a big part of that. And I think they will really prioritize this.
This next question is something that's been discussed at length on Stack's Championship Football Podcast, Second Tier. It's from John. Could Will Still really become the next Sunderland manager? And how has his time at Reims prepared him for English football?
Well, this was a bit of speculation, as it originally was, that it would have really surprised me that even a week and a half ago, the idea of Will Still going to Sunderland. Because I felt that he's done so well at Reims that maybe a bigger job would be his next step. I mean, he was linked with the Lyon job when they got rid of Fabio Grosso. And his answer to that, and he's always a very forthright interviewee on French television, was to really brush it off as if it was nothing. As if he thought, you know, I could maybe have something bigger down the line, which showed the sort of self-assurance that we've come to expect of him. But I guess things have really developed with Sunderland over the last week, and there have been suggestions in France that he instigated the talks. His agent, Alex Hayes, who used to be at Lorient, instigated the talks with Sunderland, and he had a plan. Reims are very unhappy with him at the moment. Now, obviously, they've been delighted with his work over the last little while, but they're very displeased about the way that he has seemed to solicit the job and solicit Sunderland's interest. So it's going to make for an interesting atmosphere going forward over the next little while. Now, I guess there are a couple of reasons why Will Still might be interested in the Sunderland job. Of course, they remain a huge club. They're handily placed to mount a promotion push, which could get him an express route into the Premier League, I suppose. He's tactically adept. He's got a lot out of Reims because they're a club with one of the, like, a bottom third budget in Ligue 1. But you think he had that incredible unbeaten run to start in the first place of, what, 15, 16 games, and then built from there. He's continued to make them very competitive this season, despite the fact they lost Folarin Balogun as well, who went to Monaco, of course. And for a club of their level, he's absolutely irreplaceable. And then you look at the fact that, you know, they play like fairly adventurous football. It's not all getting people behind the ball as well. There are different ways to skin that cat. Now, I wonder as well what makes Sunderland attractive to him is he knows what's coming in terms of January. Now, this will be an issue for a lot of teams, but he's going to lose a couple of important players to the African Cup of Nations, noticeably Yunus Abdul Hamid, is centre back, who's a brilliant leader for them on the pitch. And I wonder if Still is taking a bit of a look at this and thinking, you know what? What I'm doing with Rance at the moment and what he's done with Rance since he's arrived has been above and beyond. But there's going to be that point where it's going to drop off. Now, I guess the question is, to quote Danny from Withnell and I, how long do you hang on to the balloon for? And you have to work out the right time to let go of that so that your job at Rance, so that his job at Rance looks like the perfect job rather than one that started to go off a bit through no real fault of his own.
I love that. I'm going to steal that. How long to hang on to the balloon?
Well, the thing I'm going to steal from all of that is how polite Andy is in not obviously embarrassing my pronunciation. I always thought it was Reams.
The bottom line is we all cover each other on OTC. I was saying Falarin wrong a couple of weeks ago. So.
Yeah, I know, but now you're saying it perfectly. My younger brother will be delighted with
this. I'm pleased. We'll lose a listener.
Ask OTC.
I almost definitely called him Florian Balogona for a few
Don't
times.
Don't do that. Yeah. My brother Falarin wouldn't like that.
No.
From Mike, this is, I suppose, another aspect of the question from John. Are Lyon doomed?
I mean, yes.
Yes, is that it?
Completely doomed. Okay. Dead. Might as well just lock up. Just kind of, turn the lights off. It's all gone now.
One word is all I'm asking for, but two will do.
You know what? The way they have played and the points they have got so far this season, they should be doomed, but they are not. And there are a number of reasons for this, not just because... surfing on waves of joy after the first home win of the season last weekend. That's right, first home win of the season on December the 10th against Toulouse.
Surfing on joy.
But I think...
Oh, you're in great form today, Andy. I'm loving
this. Well, you know what? It's Toulouse that have made it all happen, because if there's part of a reason, I think Lyon are bang in trouble. There's no doubt about that. But if they've got a chance, it's partly to do with the other teams at the bottom. I mean, Toulouse were just awful, and they're in a terrible run at the moment. I would imagine their coach, Carlos Martinez Nové, won't last that much longer. But you look at the teams in the bottom six, you look at Clermont, you look at Lorient, Toulouse, as we said, Montpellier, Rennes, who just lost former Lyon coach Bruno Genesio. You know, they spent a lot of money, built for Champions League like Lyon, and massively underachieving. You know, they've only got 5 points more than Lyon, which is a pretty dismal haul when you think how badly Lyon have played this season. If we've got a bit of hope for Lyon, actually the interim coach Pierre Sage has proved that, you know, they do still have good players and there are still possibilities there. I think in terms of being the best coach they've had this season, which says... a lot for him, but it also says a lot for how bad Laurent Blanc and Fabio Grosso were. And they both have their fingerprints over the car crash of this season so far, both in terms of fitness and tactics. But there were little shoots under Sage that they've started to get themselves organised. They've started to accept that they are in a relegation fight and they can't say this is happening to us by accident or whatever. Move to three at the back is quite good. And one of the main things that Sage has done is managed to get better performances out of his best players. Corentin Tolisso has started to get himself fit, which is a huge thing. If he can be fit at his best, he's a massive improvement to them. And of course, Alex Lacazette, who Fabio Grosso seemed to manage to make an enemy of in double quick time. And leaving him out of the team and putting in Mama Balde, it's a little bit like at the end of Ruud Gullit's reign at Newcastle, where he was leaving out Alan Shearer for Paul Robinson. You know, it doesn't make any sporting sense. It's just to make a point. And if someone's going to score you the goals to get you out of this, it's going to be Lacazette, isn't it?
And I guess that was the more the less spurious point than the one I made, which wasn't really a point at all. It's just, if you look at this squad, come on. I don't follow this as closely as you, Andy, but if you've got a midfield of Xhaka and Tolisso and you've got Cherki supplying Lacazette up front, like, you shouldn't get relegated. It should not be possible for a squad that has those things to get relegated. So you'd think if they could get any sort of any semblance of unity in that group and put them into a formation that vaguely makes sense, they should be able to claw themselves out of it, right?
I knew you wouldn't be satisfied with just your one-word answer.
No, so I can't do it. I was...
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I think you can wax lyrical on this one. This is from Harry. With Ajax moving up the table, are they out of the woods?
I wouldn't say out of the woods, but that's just because they'd gone so far into the woods that it just takes a while to get back to civilization, you know? But it does seem, yeah, they're winning games again. Won 6 of the last 7, as I recall. One might even say that the interim coach has steadied to ship, I think. Is
this is John Vantership.
Yes. Yes. Boom. Take that. Yeah. It does seem to... They're winning games again. The problem is they're so far behind, right? And especially... In terms of the title, obviously that's not possible because Peter Bosz's PSV is running away with it, having won 15 out of 15. So even though Ajax have started winning, they're still like 21 points off the lead, so that's not going to happen. But I guess the objective for them for the rest of the season is to see if there's any way they can feasibly sneak into a Champions League place, either second or third. Though I haven't checked the charts as to what it might be next year with the new system, but let's just go with second or third for now. Where Feyenoord and AZ are at the moment, and they're both about 10 points ahead of them. And you can just about catch that. There's really no room for error whatsoever now if they're going to have a chance. They have to win pretty much the rest of their games. And as bad as they were in the beginning of the season, that didn't look likely. But again, 6 wins out of 7. So definitely not out of the woods, but on a path that could feasibly lead them there.
So really, what we've done here is we've gone from Lyon... Taylor Swift to Out of the Woods. I'm very, very impressed. It's a great link. I don't know if Harry, you asked the question, intended that. If you did, Harry, you're an absolute genius. But I guess the question is, as Lars said, what are the woods? Because if we're talking about relegation, they're fine. They're going to be fine. But if we're talking about them qualifying for Europe, this is only the start. And they've gone on a really good run to get themselves into fifth. But the gap between fifth and fourth at the moment is 9 points. You know, that is a lot to make up, even at this point of the season. And I think if you look at how they got themselves into trouble in the first place, it's just dreadful squad construction. You see, whereas I think you look at Lyon, as we were saying before, and you can see the holes in it, and I can see exactly the players... that you would go and buy, or exactly the sort of players that you would go and buy to fix them. So, with Lyon, it's obvious. You get two central midfield players, you get a wide player, you get a centre-back who can play at full-back. sorted. Whereas with Ajax, their recruitment was so scruffy and controversial, of course, with the exit of Sven Mislintat. Like, what do you do to sort that out in January? To me, it feels like the sort of squad that to get it into competitive nick and to get them into where they were, it's still, the squad is still a mess. It would take a couple of transfer windows, I think.
Maybe they can't see to ship for the Woods.
Maybe the real Woods were the friends we made along the way.
Maybe Bears do what they do in the Woods.
Sink in.
But for a real question for Lars to get his teeth into, we talked about Taylor Swift, the Woods, etc. Now let's talk about Sigrid.
Yes.
This is from Neil. He said that with such relish. So it tickled me. Anyway, this is from Neil. What are Lars's thoughts on the continuing fairy tale of Bodø Glimt, a small Arctic team, almost won a domestic double this season? Surely that is an amazing story.
Yeah, and I think the key phrase in that question from Neil is the word continuing. Because Bodø Glimt have, you know, throughout their history, Bodø Glimt have been a bit of a yo-yo team. I don't think that's too unfair to say. They've mostly been in the top division, but they've gone down occasionally. And they're from a time, I mean, from memory, I'm tempted to look this up so I don't get it wrong, but I think it's 40 or 50,000 people in Bodø Glimt. It's a small place, not a tiny place, but small enough. And it's quite isolated up north. Well, certainly isolated by most people who's listening to this standard.
But the stadium as well. I mean, you're talking about a stadium with just a few thousand capacity.
It's not a big club at all. And they, a couple of years ago, got promoted and very suddenly started winning games and playing exhilarating football and eventually claiming league title, which is an incredible achievement from them. And, you know, making some waves in Europe, beating Roma and a few other things, right? And what you...
Jose Mourinho hasn't forgotten that one.
Did not enjoy that. now, what you'd expect to happen then, and what almost always happens, is that the team gets picked apart. And Bodø Glimt have lost some players, for sure. But they've managed to keep some as well. And they've brought a few back. I mean, they had Marius Lode, the defender who went to Schalke, had a very bad time. He was brought back. Crucially, Patrick Berg, their midfield general, went to Lens, didn't really settle there and went back. I mean, Patrick Berg is something as unusual as a third-generation footballer for his team. I mean, both his father and grandfather played for Bodø as well. And when he went abroad, it just didn't seem right for him to play for another club, I don't think. And Bodø were happy to have him back. And I think the thing that's worth emphasizing is that this isn't some sort of... it's not fueled by money at all. At least it wasn't initially. They haven't had a rich uncle inject loads of cash into the coffers. They just managed to build a team that played incredibly well under their very, very clever coach, Kjetil Knudsen. Now, of course, that they've won the title, they won three titles now, and they've been on European adventures and they've taken some scalps, that has raised them some money. So now they can afford to spend a little bit, but they're still not going for like big established names. They're very good at looking around at players who fit into their system of doing things. And, you know, they've done a good job hanging on to quite a lot of players, you know, handing out some decent contracts. But yeah, they seem to be building a real dynasty up there, which given that it's
fortress.
Given that it's not like it's not one of the big cities in Norway either. It is a really remarkable achievement. And it's worth flagging up that it's still happening. They're still there. They're still taking along. Beating Besiktas in Europe recently. That was exciting. So, yeah.
But then then they lose to Molde. In the cup.
You lost the cup final, which was played very late in the season, freezing conditions, very difficult game. I think everyone who were involved in that cup final felt that that wasn't a good date to have it on. And they're going to have to hopefully look at the calendar a little bit next year. But yeah, lost to Molde in the cup final.
That's about it from us. Thank you for listening to Ask OTC. You can find Lars on Twitter at Lars Severson. Next week, Andy and I will be joined by Nikki Bandini. And if you'd like to ask a question, you can contact us at any time at Radio Dawson, at Andy Brassel, and at OTC Pod, or you can email us otc@footballramble.com.
since we're doing Norway Corner. I don't get to do this so often anymore. So there is the other thing from Norway, which is the league, the season's ended, and remarkably, the two teams from Oslo in the top division, Vålerenga and Stabæk, have both been relegated, which is very strange to see both the capital teams go down. But, young man, there is no need to feel down. Because KUFM, who are the sports branch of the local YMCA, have been promoted to the top division. They're also from Oslo. So, young man, if you're new in that town, there's no need to feel unhappy. There is a place you can go to watch the football, even if you're short on dough, because the ticket prices are quite reasonable. Oh, you can stay there and find many ways to have a good time. They KFM, they have everything for young men to enjoy. You can probably hang out with all the boys, I'm sure. And I'm not sure about the facilities at the ground. So whether or not you can get yourself clean and have a good meal, I don't know. And I also don't think you should do whatever you feel, because we have some stand-up people listening to this pod. It could also be some perverts out there, so I'm not. Maybe don't do whatever you feel. But you know, get yourself to the KFUM if you want to watch football in Oslo next year.
It surely is. KFUM.
Yeah, it's just nobody wants to hear me sing. I'll leave that to you, Dalton.
They definitely don't want to hear me sing.
On the Continent is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.